This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, where we will take you through the second and third round of this year's 2024 NFL Draft. So we will keep you up to date, wall-to-wall coverage. Paul Moyer will be joining us on the program. Brady Henderson will be checking in every hour with us. So we've got a lot to cover. And, Dave, I noticed the sneer, the snicker, the look of, are you kidding me, when I talked about the guardian caps being an option for players in the regular season.
You picked up on that,
I did. It wasn't very subtle.
That'd be one question I would ask in the psychological evaluation. If you had a chance to wear the guardian cap in a game, would you?
Do you think most people know what they look like?
How would you describe it? It almost looks like the inside of the old helmets that we had with the air pocket.
But it's on the outside of the helmet.
Right.
So it's something that anybody who's seen, like maybe watched the news or watched NFL Live and they show training camp footage, because that's the only place you would see those,
right,
is in training camps. And it's a padded crown, if you will, that sits on top of the football helmet. And I remember, what was it, 2 years ago, 2022 was the first year. And I think I asked you, where the hell is that? What do they have on their head there? Because sometimes you'll see guys with the colored net or whatever to signify something different, you know, whether they're the mic or you're not going to hit that guy. I'm going to be very curious to see how many players opt to use that in a regular season game.
Yeah, and this might be super like too technical or picky, but like it's like an inch wider everywhere around your helmet. Like when you're inside and, you know, you're getting in your fits and getting your head across, I mean, I know that it's only inches, but still, it's a game of inches. And if you can't get on the other side of a guy's helmet because it catches on the guardian cap or whatever, I thought that could be a problem, possibly. But that might be a little on the nitpicky side.
It's just, we were talking about last night. We were watching the draft through the whole first round, talking about everybody's fashion choices. Everybody's very worried about how they look.
Yeah.
You want to look cool. You want to look good. I could see some players going, I'm not wearing that. It'll look ridiculous.
Yeah, you know? I think it's a good point. I think you probably see way, way less veterans and more of the younger guys that, you know, it's just another way where it comes off to me is that, once again, and I've probably said this 1,000 times, it is an inherently dangerous game. And so, and I get it. You're around the fringes kind of trying to say, okay, maybe we can cut out, you know, one or two concussions or whatever. They're adjusting the kickoff and all that stuff that, you know, I feel like that it's a fool's errand. I really do. You're gonna get, you know, your bell rung. I mean, it's just not normal to go and smash somebody in the head when you're wearing a plastic helmet, and so are they. I mean,
it's a collision sport, Dave. It's what people do, it's what draws people to the TV to watch, because it's not something most people would do or can do at this level. So you watch with a level of, wow, I can't believe they're doing that. Same reason I watch boxing my whole life, MMA, and partake it. It's a unique thing that not everybody is up for, but everybody understands what it is they're getting into.
But and also, I think a lot of people might listen to what I have to say and say, well, you're just being an old man, and, you know, at least try. Yeah, I'm all for trying. And like Pete tried to sell the hawk tackle, and, you know, what everybody like Paul Moyer and myself look at is, if that's a third and one and you're tackling the backside of that guy and you're not getting your head across, he's going to get the first down, or he's going to get a touchdown. So that kind of went away. But Pete was trying, you know, and I always admire Pete for that. But yeah, I just think we're at a point, you know, that, I mean, I think the NFL also, a lot of it they do for show. We're trying to protect our players, and we, you know, this and that. And in some kind of, maybe it's not a small way, maybe it's a bigger way than I think that there are some people that are like, why are you trying to ruin a great game? Why are you trying to get another penalty? It's already so good. Why do we have 130,000 people watching the draft? They love football. They love, you know, and I just feel like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But yeah, when it comes to, I get it. I like that they're trying to to do that, but I just think it's kind of silly in the end because it's just it's a dangerous game.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see how it goes out there. We got Paul Moyer who's going to join us. He's just standing off to the side. I don't you should sit down with us.
New and improved Paul Moyer.
Have a seat. He's so slender. He turned to the side. I couldn't even see him.
Yeah.
How are you, Paul?
I'm good. I was letting you have your opening. You know,
well,
you
guys, hey, you're here. You're part of the team, man. You jump in whenever
started,
you want.
And, you know, then I jump in. You know, when you guys go, God, we need some filler time here.
No. You and Dave are the analysts. I'm just teeing you up today, man. This is you guys are going to hit these out of the park.
And also, Bob's tired of listening to all my crap. I've been saying it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Years, so
we're
going to rely heavily
on
you.
Bob is.
Are there others, Paul?
Listeners as well?
I listen every day, you know, on my way home. And no, this is...
All right, that's it.
Well, what do you think? We'll get into all the draft talk. The second round will start at 4 o'clock for anybody panicking. They're not talking about what's going on. Yep. Nothing's going on yet. So we got you covered. Don't you worry about that. But what do you think of that? I mean, anytime we bring up any sort of disagreement with a safety measure, it's deemed, well, you're old. Well, why is that an old school philosophy? Because it's what brought people to the game in large part. It's what they marketed for decades. Crunch Course. That used to be a DVD I had as a kid. Crunch Course. Every big hit. And that's NFL sponsored, licensed. It was out there. It's what they built the sport on. Yet now it seems like I'm with Dave. Try it, man. I don't want guys to suffer permanent damage, but part of the appeal is the violence of the sport, to be honest.
It's still violent. I mean, they've taken... obviously they try to downplay that, you know, with these new rules. I think the helmet thing, I look at it looks kind of silly to me. I'd be a little embarrassed to wear one, but I'm about style, right? So
yeah, of course,
you know, when I go outside, I want my shoes to be polished, and you know, I don't want a navy blue and a black sock. I mean, there's just certain things that I'm very detailed on.
That's the difference between you and I.
Yeah, well, you picked that up. So
do you buy any of that at Costco or no?
No,
Dave doesn't.
No, there's no Costco stuff. That's funny because I do have some Costco like pajama bottoms, but I wouldn't go outside with them. Do you remember what was it? Mike Kelso? Who was a Buffalo?
Yeah, I was just going to bring him up.
He wore that big Martian guy from like the Flintstone helmet. It was kind of weird.
Great Kazoo.
Great Kazoo. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it looked odd, but it protected him. Obviously, through the years, you know, baseball didn't used to have helmets. They got helmets now. Hockey didn't wear helmets. You know, football at one point didn't have helmets, face masks. You know, things obviously change along the way. I think it doesn't detract from the physical nature of it. If you feel like that's something that needs to protect you, I would have a hard time with it if I've never worn one before. So to mandate it, that would be difficult.
Yeah, and they're not, just to clarify.
Right.
They're giving players the option.
And maybe they get used to it through practice. But Dave, you also remember when the offensive linemen had to wear those knee braces?
Man,
the team said you have to do it.
When was that?
Oh, man, it was back in probably the late 80s, 90s.
Early 90s. Mandated knee braces.
Not the practice. NFL.
Oh.
Not the NFL. But the Seahawks said every offensive lineman during a game, you will wear them. They'll be taped up. And it was uncomfortable for them. You know, each team was different with that. So I look at this one, too. If you're comfortable with it, that helps you, so be it.
Did you wear a mouthpiece?
I did, and I didn't like wearing them in college day, but I had a coach named Willie Shaw who said, Paul, I'm not asking you. Wear it or get off the field.
Yeah.
And so I started to wear it, and then, you know, the violence of the NFL is a little different than college. I said, you know, maybe this is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to break my teeth, and, you know, they talked about concussions and helped as well. So I did wear one.
Well, my problem was, like, even in college where you had to wear it, if you they'd kick you out of the game if you didn't have your mouthpiece in. Not kick out, but, you know, go to the sidelines. First of all, it gagged me. I hated it. So I would always cut mine down so it was just covering like the first couple teeth. But then, you know, I start calling the huddle and all that stuff, and you need to be able to talk. And I didn't want to keep pulling it out and, you know, trying to. So I just stopped and didn't. And I never had a problem. I never had a chipped tooth or anything like that, but
not until recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I did. That was on the trip down to Arizona. Somehow that happened.
The other thing was, and it's kind of weird because they don't require this either. You had to wear knee pads. You had to wear thigh pads. You had to wear hip pads. You had to, back then, you even had to wear a tailbone pad. And I would, man, when I say a pad, I mean, I would put a piece of, you know, what you could barely even see. It's like paper. I said, no, they're in here. And they said, well, I don't know if that's legal. I go, they're in here. Because I was trying to get as light as possible because right. speed mattered. So I was the same thing with the mouthpiece. I didn't want something big. I honestly, it was more like, that might weigh me down just a little. I mean, it was.
I won't run as fast with this mouthpiece.
Paul was working the margins there.
Yeah. Got it. Hey, every inch counts, right?
Well, I just had a comp to Paul Moyer. Remember? Who's the player? It was one of the safeties, I think.
Yeah, he's going through looking at different position groups and you know, value. He does this well, does that well, reminds you of the, here's a comp. He's like this guy. And he had a guy that was a Paul Moyer comp.
Yeah, because he takes great angles. Took good angles. He's smart. The way he moves around the field, you know, you can make up for a lot, right?
Can you? What is that you're saying? That
I'm saying you're
for
slow.
Lack of my athletic ability.
I was going to see if you were going to wander into that.
Supposed to be a compliment, Paul.
always sorry. So I used to say, well, you are a really smart guy. You know, Paul, you are an overachiever. I go. So what you're saying is, you would be a really good coach. As soon as you hear that, you go, okay, athletic ability.
Here's what I said. My comp, Paul Moyer, I said.
Cameron Kitchens?
Yes.
Is that who it was?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
How did you know that, Lefko?
He's got it written.
He has it. Okay.
He thought he pulled that out of his
memory. Yeah, I did think he pulled it out of his tailpipe is where he pulled it out of it. But I said, not a burner, but good angles on field. That's fair enough.
I'm going to go find a comp for you, Dave. But I think they're centers now.
Oh, jeez.
No, what's the guy's name? I just want to go on a social media and see how he dresses.
See if he's got the same style.
I just want to see how it's good style.
What was his name again?
Cameron Kitchens. He's from Miami. Kitchens. Yeah.
Miami. Paul's looking him up right now.
5'11", 202 pounds.
I've got way more style than this guy.
He ran a 4.65.
I was faster than him, Dave.
Yeah. Okay.
What'd you run?
My fast was a 4.55. On grass, it was like 4.6, but
mine was 4.54.
Yeah. Well, that's because at Stanford, they were smart enough to make it so it was.
He's running downhill.
You're pretty much.
Rabel runs a 4.45.
Oh, get ready. The text is coming.
He's going to text me right now. 4.37. I thought it was a compliment.
Yeah, well, I like
anybody playing today. Tough, if you want to give smart. Me any of that, I mean, I'll take him.
I love that. He's smart. You overachiever. Those are really sort of backhanded. You're overcoming your lack of athleticism or speed.
You know how many times I've heard that, Bob, over my year? I even get people that don't even know anything about football say, man, I really like you. You got the most out of your ability.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I didn't. Maybe I was only at 70%.
Yeah, I might have been throttling back. You don't know.
Squeeze the life out of you.
There's a blog or something, a forum, and I joined it. I saw something, might have even been from our show, and they were commenting on it.
Is it the Abandoned Boys? Is that
No. That's something else. And the tagline was Paul Moyer, legend, excited for the future, and it was about Coach McDonald. And the guy goes, Paul Moyer, and he big bold, you know, blacked out, not a legend. But you know what? He does have good analysis, and pretty smart guy. And I said, I couldn't agree more. We're not legends, but the NFL has branded this thing with the alumni that were called legends, and we all kind of get embarrassed.
You're a Seahawks legend. Wyman's a Seahawks legend. We got legends here breaking down everything that's going to go on with the draft today. Let's get into what happened yesterday, and I'm curious. You know, Dave and I were here with Brock and Michael Bumpus, and you know, Byron Murphy was interesting because we started looking at these mock drafts. I don't know, what's it been, like 3 months we've been looking at? Yeah. I don't know. It's been forever. The initial ones that kept coming out right in the beginning all had Byron Murphy going to the Seahawks, and that was the most common name. And then as time went on, that went away, and I kind of forgot about him, and it became Troy Fautanu. That was the name that was most often associated with them. Different names, but that was, I would say, most consistent.
Latu was in there.
Yeah, Latu was in there. And then, you know, this happens, and then it's back to Byron Murphy. And initially I was kind of like, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that guy. And by every account, if you put anything into the evaluation of the analysts out there and the draft nicks, they all think that's a home run pick. Like, the Seahawks nailed it by everybody's estimation. What was your reaction?
Well, similar building up to it to you guys. When I first saw that Byron Murphy was, you know, maybe, you know, through all these mock drafts would be the person, I just kind of looked up his stats. And then, you know, I remember watching the game against the Huskies, and I go, he didn't show up that much. And I go, you know, five sacks, I go, for a defensive tackle. I don't know. I kind of let it go, and then Latu jumped in, and I was like, oh, man. You know, and I started watching film on him. I started getting really excited, and then I'm watching how this draft's playing out, and when Penix got picked eighth, I go, we are going to have an opportunity for Latu. They're going to have a pick to get the best player at that position in the 16th pick. That's almost unheard of. And then we picked Byron Murphy, and I was like, all right, I got to go watch some film. And I sat and watched the whole Husky game, and then I went and watched the whole Alabama game. Holy moly, this guy is special. He's double-teamed 90% of the time. Uh-huh. That's why the productivity's not there. But the pressure rate, he's flashes in and breaks double-teams. He finds way either through or around these guys. He rarely double-teamed. Shame on their defensive coordinator. They should have been in a bare front, Dave, kind of like we used to do with Cortez Kennedy, and get him one-on-one.
Explain what that means.
And for those listening, just every offensive lineman's covered, and so it looks like a five-man front, so you can have a nose on the center, one-on-one.
Yeah. Right.
And so the guards can't go double-team him every time.
Okay.
They've got to honor the guy in front of him first. And so there was a couple plays where they did line up in a bare front, but they only brought four. And Bama was smart enough that they're very well coached too, that the guard came off for a second, but immediately came back to help on Byron Murphy. But he beat that center, who's a good center, so fast. He's not Aaron Donald, but I'm not going to put him in that category, but it was Aaron Donald-like. He beat him so quick, he clubbed him from behind, almost like a Reggie White move. It was straight to the quarterback. The guard came off and kind of tripped him. You see that a lot, and you see him flash a lot where they go, oh, I've got to get rid of the football, because what's the quickest way to the quarterback, man? It's a straight line, you know, from A to B, and that is you're in that nose, the 1-3-3 gap technique. Man, you get penetration there. It is so disruptive to the eye to the quarterback. And it gets better because I don't know if he's better against the run. It's just, it's harder to double team him always on the run, right? Because the way they zone block and things. But he can knife through. He can work his way behind and get down the field because he's explosive. Mm-hmm. But the part that really, I go, here's where I'm in love with the guy. He got a motor. He didn't quit. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter last year, a lot of people were bummed we didn't pick him. Mm-hmm. He, gifted guy, don't get me wrong. But he's only going to be on the field 40 to 50% of the time. He gets tired. He gets frustrated when he's double-teamed, and he quits on plays. This guy doesn't quit. I saw him jog one time in the Alabama game, and it was because they double-teamed him. He was on the left-hand side, and the quarterback broke out to the defense's right. And he kind of saw it like, yeah, I'm going to go there, but I'm not giving like I normally give. But that was rare. And that was early in the game season against Alabama. It's hot. It's humid. The guy's got a motor. He's got all the skill level. And here's the other thing. He's still got upside. So he's got good moves, but they're going to teach him so many more. Because a lot of times he has to bull rush because they're double teaming him. Mm-hmm. He does have a really good, you know, what do you call it?
A rip.
A rip. Thank you. Rip move as well. Very impressed in the two games I've seen.
Yeah. You've had a night to dwell on it, Dave. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw the same thing Paul did. I think the other thing is he was described to me from someone as a dog. He's a dog. He's a football junkie. He's going out and playing as hard as he can on every single play. You talk about him, what I would call him is like scrappy, because there's been two or three times where he's getting a double team or whatever, and he actually goes down to a knee at one point and then pops back up. I always say pops up like toast, you know, toast coming out of the toaster. I mean, he just boom off the ground quickly, like a kind of like a cat. And then another time I saw him getting completely knocked down and just jumped right up and was ready to go. And he's a great kid. Everything, loves football. You know, I talked to some of the guys that, you know, do all the background check and everything. Good dude, loves it. And, you know, and I kind of talked about this. If you get a guy like that, this is how valuable it is. You get a guy like that who's a first rounder, First of all, they must have been just so thrilled that the first 14 picks are offense. Yeah. Now there's only one guy picking in front of you. And Latu, from what I understand, the more I, you know, hear that, like, his neck issue was a huge deal. Yeah. And, like, they wouldn't clear him. And so, you know, as far as at University of Washington. So I think you did get – they certainly got the guy that they wanted. But if you have those two guys together, I was talking about John Henderson and Marcus Stroud with Jacksonville and talked about this a little bit yesterday. First of all, if you go look at those two guys' numbers, they're almost identical. They both played 10 years. They both had within 40 tackles of each other. The one had 26 and a half sacks. The other had 26. But my point is that those two guys were so dominant. We talked to Brock yesterday about it, how, you know, when Brock was in Indianapolis and they would play Jacksonville in the AFC South, he said like half of their running plays, they had to just scrap. They couldn't move those guys. They can't move them on the inside. So when you have those two pillars in there, now he's a rookie, but still he's a very special rookie. And then you get Big Cat in there. You got some other, you know, Jaron Reed had a good half a year anyway. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the more you think about it, it's also addresses the trenches. You know, I mean, you didn't get anything on the offensive side. And we thought maybe Fautanu, I thought he was going to get taken there. But the more I look at it, the more I like it.
Yeah, I think one of the first things Coach McDonald said when he got here is the way they design blitzes. He goes, look, I'm not trying to free these guys up. You know, it's hard to get scot-free, you know, where no one blocks you. What we try to do is you can get a one-on-one situation, and we're counting on you to win. And so we're going to have that. So now I look at, all right, now you got Draymond Jones. You got Leonard Williams. This guy can win one-on-one. And when you can get somebody, I look at the 49ers, Bosa. Bosa's a really good defensive end. Do not get me wrong. But what's special about him, to me, it changes the attitude of the defense. It's his motor. It's his desire to get to the ball and to be able to win one-on-one. This guy has that. Mm-hmm. He's really explosive, really good hands. He's 21 years old. He's not 22 until September. Mm. So he's young. I'm really happy with the pick.
That's Paul Moyer there. It's Dave Wyman here as well with Bob Stelton. Brady Henderson is here. He's going to be joining us around the bottom of every hour up until the Seahawks pick, and he's going to join us next as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When it comes to clothes, having pieces that you can wear anywhere is a must. That's why American Giant makes clothing that fits your life seamlessly, with quality you have to feel to believe. Whether you're stocking up for any weather or picking up a special gift, you'll find an impressive selection of staples to choose from. So whether you're on the hunt for a heavyweight hoodie, a fleece jacket, or a hardworking pair of warm sweatpants, American Giant has what you're looking for. Each American Giant piece is designed to last and created with commitment to doing things better. And all their products are made right here in America. Because keeping things local ensures the kind of quality you'll feel and appreciate for years to come. Discover the American Giant difference today. Shop Wear Anywhere Closet Staples at American-Giant.com. And get 20% off your order when you use code ANYSTYLE24 at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com. Promo code ANYSTYLE24.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob. We got our guy Paul Moyer here. And joining us throughout today's show will be our analyst Brady Henderson. You see his work on ESPN.com. Does a great job covering the Seattle Seahawks. And Brady, I asked both these guys, now that they've had time to sort of marinate on the move made by the Seahawks, and the Seahawks, by the way, you know, just sort of universally being praised for this pick. I haven't seen many of the analysts or draft nicks saying, what are they doing? Everybody seems to love it. Now that you've had almost 24 hours to sit on it, what do you think of the move?
Yeah, when you get what is widely considered to be the best defensive tackle in the draft at 16, and it's, even if it's not like an immediate need in terms of numbers, but there was certainly a need there in terms of impact players up front. Yeah, I don't know how anybody could really quibble with this pick. I mean, I think the decision that they faced there at 16 was, do you pick Murphy or do you trade back? And obviously we all know the incentive they have to trade back without a second round pick. You probably want to get more bites at the apple if you can, but A, they loved Murphy. I don't think they saw a great opportunity to still have a chance at landing a really good impact player if they moved back 5, 6, 7 spots. And I also just don't think that they got a really good offer that would have gotten them a really solid day two pick today. I mean, just look at the trade that Jacksonville made with the Vikings right after that. Jacksonville moved back, I think, 6 spots, and the picks they got, none of them were picks today. And so I think that the Seahawks were going to move back. It was probably going to have to take something today, and it would have to be especially strong given that that would have potentially meant losing out on Murphy.
Yeah, and we were also talking about how Jadeveon Clowney, Bob, we talked about him and how he had probably his best year playing in that defense with Baltimore, and then Matt Ebwike, I think his numbers jumped up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, and also the other thing is we were just kind of in general going, look, what was the biggest problem? What was the most frustrating? And maybe it was just for me, but defense was by far the side of the ball that was the most frustrating. And then, you know, you went and got a guy that is basically a trenches player, right? I mean, you didn't get it on the offensive side. I know that they're going to address probably interior offensive line, but you got a D tackle. I mean, that's where it all starts. And, you know, playing behind Cortez Kennedy, I mean, you talk about an extra meeting guy. I mean, it's the same thing with Aaron Donald, but if this guy can become that, but now you got two, you know, you've got him, you've got Big Cat, and I just feel like that's pretty intimidating when you're looking at trying to run the ball anyway.
Yeah, totally. And you said it there. I mean, when you think about Byron Murphy and you hear that, okay, he had 5 sacks last season, which is pretty good production for an interior defensive lineman in 14 games. Yeah. He also led the country in pressure percentage as a defensive tackle. So you think of him as him making his big impact there, and I think he will, but he also is an excellent run defender. I mean, you put on highlights of him, and don't pretend like I go and watch, you know, hours upon hours of tape and I know exactly what I'm watching, but I know enough to know that this guy looks like he can be a stud against the run. And as we all know, that's been the Seahawks' Achilles heel the past two seasons. I mean, I think they were 30th 2 years ago, 31st last season. And when you combine the two seasons, they've had the worst rush defense in the NFL in that span. And so they just badly needed impact players up front there, even if they didn't necessarily need it numbers-wise. Like, they've got a lot of bodies there. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they work all those guys in. But you needed a big-time player like that, and they got it.
You know, I think the impact part's important. First of all, we started in the draft at 16 with a top two pick. You know, I mean, that's incredible to me. And I think the Seahawks have a lot of really good football players. And I think you do trade back if I got to fill in 4 different positions. We don't. I mean, certainly we got to fill in, you know, some interior linemen. Some depth at linebacker would be helpful. Everywhere else, I think we're set. You got to find Pro Bowl players, and when teams go and game plan, I got to account for him. And I think he's a guy you got to account for. I'd like to get Coach Grubbin here, because what was their game plan when Texas played Washington, or when Washington played Texas?
Yeah.
Because when you watch that game, they double teamed him just about every single play. When they decided they wanted to move a little away from him, they would fan out and do a little bit more zone protection, and they would keep Johnson in, who's a really good blocker. And oftentimes they had, who was a tight end kid too,
Westover.
Thank you. They would keep seven guys in and allow some of their deep routes to go. They were worried about him. They made him chase too. So they said, okay, we're going to run. We're going to design some things to at least try to tire him out. I want to know, did you go into the game and say, that guy can't beat us? And that's the difference. That's something we don't have right now. And I think this makes Williams better. This makes Dremont Jones better. This makes Jaron Reed better. I think it makes our edge rushers better. I think what we'll do in the blitz package is going to be really interesting. And he's going to, for the first time, at least in the films I've seen, he's going to be able to have one-on-one opportunities. And I think that pressure rate is critical. We might see a lot more sacks than five.
Yeah, you know, what about, well, I'm kind of on defense anyway, looking at your position and my position. And I brought up depth with the safeties where you played. And it's not really a depth issue. There's six guys, right? But some of those guys, like Kayvon Wallace, he hasn't had much of a career. Jenkins, a little bit more. I think he's actually played in 80 games. But, you know, and then you got Jarek Reed, and I think Julian Love is obviously the proven guy, but if you had to take, I'll ask both of you guys, either safety or second-level linebacker, like inside linebacker, where do you think the most need is?
I would say from a numbers standpoint, the bigger need is at linebacker. I mean, they've got Tyrell Dotson and Jerome Baker both on one-year deals.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of proven depth behind those guys, and we all know, like, it would be a surprise if they make it through the season with both those guys starting every single game. So you're probably going to need somebody else to step in at some point. And then linebacker is just a position that you see them draft, you know, often, just because those guys end up playing a ton on special teams too. So I think I made this point with Stacy an hour or so ago, the deals that they signed both of those guys too, they are 1 year deals, but they are for a decent amount of money. It's not like you sign them both to, you know, minimum salary deals, and they're like the quote unquote draft hedge where you sign that guy and get him in for cheap, and then you end up starting him if you don't find, you know, a starting caliber player in the draft. So I don't think there's a ton of pressure to do that, but, and I think that they probably signed those guys to those deals knowing that this draft isn't going to have a whole lot of, maybe it's not that rich in that position. The fact that they were as aggressive as they were in signing those guys in free agency, that tells me they didn't really think they were going to have a ton of great options in the draft. But maybe a guy like Junior Colson, who obviously has the Michigan connection, maybe he falls to them. Maybe there's somebody else there. But I think at some point in this draft, they've got to at least add to the depth at that spot.
Yeah, I think when you look at the to me, we have five safeties right now. You throw in Colby Bryant. How that looks, I don't know. I don't think they're set starters, to be honest with you. I think that they're going to go and compete, and we're going to see what kind of scheme we have. But the one thing we have now is you got five guys who can cover. You go look at the two linebackers. You got two linebackers who can cover. They can run. They can blitz. They're undersized. We're giving up 20 pounds from Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks. But, okay, now I'm starting to see what kind of defense he wants to accumulate. I think it's linebacker, though. There are some guys there that I don't need the guy from Texas A&M, Cooper. I, you know, don't need a 250-pound guy who can run a 4.4. Don't get me wrong. I'd take him. But he's not really a cover guy. He's more of a traditional middle linebacker. Jeremiah Trotter, undersized, about 228, 230. Not a speed guy, but he can cover, and he's quick, and he can blitz.
He's got great instincts against the pass.
So yeah. I'm looking at, you know, those guys may fall too, right? I mean, because this is about best player in our scheme too, not just best player. And I think, you know, Murphy, same thing. McDonald talks about you've got to be strong up the middle, and you got to hit him in the mouth. Well, Murphy will hit you in the mouth, and he's quick enough also to protect double teams. I mean, he can get low. I mean, I've seen him against Bama double team, and these are 330, 40-pound offensive linemen. He gets low, and he can still hold his own, even though he's, you know, around 300 pounds. So for me, yeah, there's a dynamite safety. I love him, but I think the need, and there's potential guys there that can cover at linebacker, hopefully. Is it, we picking 81?
81.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's Paul Moyer. He's going to be with us throughout the evening. Dave Wyman here breaking it all down. Brady Henderson will join us each hour and give us his perspective on what's happening out there as we get set for round two of the NFL draft. Brady, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
And often.
Good. Yeah, I'll be back.
Don't go too far.
Yeah, don't stray too far. You're going to stress Lefko out. Don't go too far. All right, coming up, we will set the scene for what to expect on day two of this draft as we come to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, "Your dad has been hurt really bad."
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stream every Seattle sports show with the Seattle Sports app. Brought to you by Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob. Our guy Paul Moyer is with us for the evening. We are going to take you through rounds 2 and 3 of the 2024 NFL Draft. The Buffalo Bills will have the first pick of the second round. As we sit right now, Seahawks don't have a second round pick. Dave, start with you. Any inkling, any feeling that they're going to try to move into the second round, try to broker some sort of deal to get in there? Feels weird to see John sitting out an entire round.
Yeah, you just never know with him.
He told us about all the work they put into the evaluation, all the money they spend evaluating these guys, and then they watch them go off the board like, ooh. Yeah, like their little body punches each time. So maybe that'll inspire them to try to get into the second round to get some of these guys they evaluated.
Yeah, I mean,
one of them.
If there's somebody that he really loves and just thinks is a difference maker. But I'm, if it's not the second round, the third and the fourth and the fifth, I mean, these have been good for them. I mean, I feel like it's funny. We are sitting there constantly talking about the first round and how it's going to go down. But this is really important, and I think the discipline that he has and the way that he, I heard Brady Henderson on with Stacy, and he was talking about how they did not have a first round grade on LJ Collier.
Yeah.
So, and I know if that's just John, I'm not calling anybody out, but I mean, there's no way he picks him there. So, and I feel like, his discipline has served him well over the years, and, I think he's done a lot of work. We talked about him making hay in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. So, I think it's okay. They don't have a second rounder. But, yeah, I mean, he has a very strong conviction about somebody. I mean, I think it'll probably be disappointing for fans just because of the numbers, because you're probably going to have to trade away a couple of or maybe three as far as your draft choices. But, yeah, I doubt it. But if he has a guy that he just – absolutely loves, he's gonna try to do everything he can to get him.
Yeah, I think what's hard is we really don't know what next year looks like. They do. I think to get into second round, you probably have to get up a first, you know, for next year. You give up future. It'd have to be a trade. I don't know who would be able to trade. Trades are hard, to get draft picks. So I don't know. If to get the second round, it would have happened yesterday. We would have had to trade it back to get close to a second round. That doesn't mean he won't do something to add some more picks because, well, I think we only have five left. I mean, it's not very many, which is unusual.
Six left. Yeah.
But it is a bummer because the second round, man, there's some good players. I mean, there are some good football players. There's so many offensive guys that went. There's some good defensive guys. There's a couple tight ends I really like, too. So I think this is going to be, unfortunately, a very long night for all of us. You know, we're going to at least get to 81, and then it's going to get exciting to see what John does from there.
Yeah, he's made it clear multiple times to us, they don't draft for need. They're going to take the best guy available, regardless of position. But if you could point him in the direction of a position, is linebacker the most pressing need? Are we still looking at interior O-line? What do you think is the most pressing need if he were to go that way, which, again, he said he won't?
Yeah, I think, look, to tag on what Dave was saying about L.J. Collier, I think Ifedi was another we need a tackle or a guard. We need somebody. Let's get this guy. It wasn't a good fit. And I think they've learned that lesson, and particularly in the first round, you got to get a guy who you think's going to be a Pro Bowler. I don't think anybody thought L.J. Collier was ever going to be a Pro Bowler. You get in the second round, I mean, I think your expectations probably, you know, temper a little bit. But I think it's got to be interior lineman. It's the one we're set at starters right now, and that's the nice thing, except for interior lineman. And I think you could make a case this year. I think I heard Brady Henderson talk about Bradford that, you know, if he starts, we may not be in the best position. I like Bradford. I think he's a good player. You know, he's still got to work on things. There's times, you know, he's not the quickest guy in the world, but he can maul people. And if your spacing's right, he's a hard guy to get around the pass as well. If there's stunts and he's got to move a little bit, you know, again, what can they do, not what can't they do? He can do a lot of really good things. But I think interior lineman's there. But can you get him still in the second part of free agency? Are there guys in that fourth, fifth round you go, yeah, I like that guy just about as good as, you know, a second or third rounder? That's when you start seeing what's the disparity between that. Because I need an offensive guy, but if I can really get him in the fourth round, I'm going to go get that best player still. And you may not like it because it's a corner. Or you may not like it because it's a wide receiver. If you get a wide receiver, I may bite my tongue a little bit. But anything else goes if they can get on the field and produce for us.
I wonder what's like the biggest discrepancy between teams. Like if one team would take him in the middle of the second and Schneider would be like, that's a seventh round grade.
That's
for
a free
me.
Agent.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think there is a huge disparity team to team. I mean, we think, you know, because of the mock drafters that everybody kind of thinks alike and they get together and sort of collaborate and everything. But I think it's really different for them, you know, as far as what they value and how John looks at these guys. I really like Laken Tomlinson. Yeah. I think he's a really good guard. And, you know,
that was a 1-year deal, right?
Yeah, another 1-year deal.
And they're paying him, though. I mean, he's a big guy, too. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick. He's been productive. I mean, that definitely solidifies a spot there at left guard.
Yeah, and then I think it's reasonable to think that Olu takes that second-year step. He's super intelligent guy, gets the offense. You know, so I guess for me, I want to see linebackers. So I would say linebacker over interior offensive line just because I think they have some pieces there that they can put together. And I like Bradford, too. I love the way he behaved last year. I mean, he had some nasty in him. But then later on, he got in a couple of scraps where he backed off and has control and wasn't selfish about it, because it's selfish when you lose your temper and you get a penalty for the team. You know, that's just that's no good. You like him to be aggressive, but I thought he was the perfect amount. He seems grumpy to me. I like that about him. Yeah. Grumpy guards.
Nice grumpy guard out there.
Yeah,
they cheat better that way, right?
Yeah, they all cheat.
They do. And I know we got a break here, but you can get a guard that has a 28-inch vertical and runs a 5.4 and still be a good guard. You can't get a linebacker that runs a 5-flat and has a 30-inch vertical, but he's a really good college player who will thump you. I've got to get him in that third round, fourth round.
I think Paul just described me.
No, you can run. You're a strong man.
That was his shot. You knew it was coming.
No, I don't do that. I'm an uplifter. You know that.
That's Paul Moyer, Dave Wyman, Bob Stelton with you. Our day two coverage of the NFL draft is coming your way next. As we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, this is Seattle Sports on 710.